for a treat today. I'm super excited because the person that's coming before you to preach today, this is going to be their very first message. And let me tell you, this person is so loved that I think he got almost his entire family to come out. If your last name is Pennywell or you are associated with a Pennywell, can you stand for me? Come on, stand up so we recognize you. Good. If you're a friend of a Pennywell, there we go. Oh, everybody should be standing. No. If you came here because you heard a Pennywell was going to preach, stand up. Look, I wanted you to see how well loved this man of God is. He is an amazing, amazing husband. He's a wonderful father of two women, one little girl. He is a phenomenal leader in our church. I think he is a shining example of what a man of God looks like. He teaches in our youth ministry, and our kids absolutely loved him. They love him so much that they are actually here to support him briefly. They can't stay the whole service, but look at all those kids back there who came to support him preaching this morning. I will say that about 25% of them are related to him, but that's another story. So we absolutely love the Pennywells, but we truly, 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 I see him as my brother in Christ, and I'm so happy to present to you for his very first sermon, our very own, Mr. Jonathan Pennywell. Would you give him a hand as he comes to present the word?
Thank you, thank you. Go Niners. Oh. We ain't going to start the sermon talking about football because I'll be here all day if we do that. But I just wanted to start off by honoring my pastor, Pastor Shana. Just thanking her for this opportunity just to come before you guys and preach my first message. You know, she had to have confidence in me to even allow me to step on the stage. Not only her, but our leadership team. As well, you know, they've encouraged me, you know, for a while to, hey, man, you're ready, you know, jump off a cliff, you know, that's kind of like the going joke back there for us. But if you can, if you have a Bible or electronic device, turn with me to Proverbs 4:23. And while you're looking for it, I think you guys saw some of my family as they made them stand up. But that's my wife, Crystal, over there. Just wanted to acknowledge her, tell her I love her, and thank you for all the support. I don't know if I can be up here without her because she's, you know, every man's looking for a woman to pray for him. And, man, I'm telling you, she gets after it. Also, my daughter, Makayla, right there. She'll be a freshman tomorrow at Menlo College. She's starting college tomorrow. And then my mother-in-law and then also my parents are right here. And my brothers and sisters are all right there. So I just want to thank them for coming out and support because that's what family does, right? Family comes and support. So I did all that to give you time to find the word. Did y'all find it? Okay. If y'all found it, what we do is we like to declare some things before we even preach the word. So I want you to raise your electronic device or your Bible and repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right, let's go. Read along with me. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Father God, I just thank you for allowing me to give voice to your word today. Holy Spirit, just move me to the side and take control of my mouth and just preach this like never before. Give us keys. Give us things to put into action where as we leave out of here, we can perform those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So in today's world, businesses are being more intentional with the way they market to you, right? You can be on a website like ESPN.com, just checking out the score of your favorite team, and an Amazon ad pops up. Amazon ad pops up out of everything. Amazon ad pops up. What just happened? It just took your mind off of checking the score of the game, and now it has your mind elsewhere thinking about how you're going to buy this particular product that you might have searched for in the past, and now Amazon presented to you. That's called target marketing. Marketing with the intent to get you to buy something. That's what I call being intentional, which is the title of my message today, Be Intentional. So you might ask yourself, well, why is it even important that I be intentional, right? You hear that word all the time, be intentional, okay. Well, let me tell you why. Because the choices you make, they lead to habits. Let me repeat that again. The choices you make leads to habits, right? Every day you wake up, you're faced with a choice. This morning you were faced with a choice. You could have chose to stay home or you could have come to church. And where you at today? You chose to come to church, right? Now let's see where this goes into a habit, because some of us, you know, been coming to church for a while. Some of us, this might be our first time. Some of us might be getting back into church. Well, guess what? If you're intentional to keep coming, guess what you just created? You created a habit to come to church, and now coming to church is second nature. Not only that, but just think about, let's take another example, like working out. I got a few friends in here that work out with me, but first time you ever work out, right, you get sore. So it's like, oh, I don't even want to work out anymore. You work out the first time. But guess what? Same thing. If I continue to go to the gym, work out, the more I work out, it gets easier and easier. Now I just created a habit. You don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, am I going to the gym today? You're like, no, I am going to the gym today, you know? So intentional choices lead to intentional habits. There's a lot of different ways to be intentional. Today I want to take a few minutes to talk about three points to help you understand the importance of being intentional and practical ways that you can apply this into your daily lives. All right? Point number one. Be intentional with your words. All right. Y'all don't get offended. This is God. Words are powerful, but for some reason, we seem to use them loosely, right? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Interesting. Keep right there for a minute, Anna Marie. It says, interesting. It says that you have the ability to speak both death and life into a situation or someone. The second part of this verse says, goes on and says, and those who will love it will eat its fruit. In other words, you'll eat your words. Well, if you're going to eat your words, wouldn't you rather speak life so that those words taste good? Speaking death sounds like a person with an untrained tongue. In Proverbs 16:23, it says, the heart of the wise teaches the mouth and adds learning to his lips. In other words, we got to train our mouths to speak the word of God. Now, for me, when I was a teenager, I had an untrained tongue. I spoke some words over one of my cousins that felt good at the time, but spoke death over him. My cousin and I were hanging out, having fun. He did something to upset me. Now, my cousin, he was bigger, stronger than me, so the only way I knew how to get him was with my words. So I proceeded to tell him that he would never amount to anything. As a teenager, I never knew that those words would have any lasting effect because I just used them, right? But boy, was I wrong. As we grew older, my cousin would be in and out of jail and eventually go to prison where he is today. Several years ago, he used to write me often. And one of the last things he wrote me, he said, cousin, remember when you told me I'll never amount to anything? So now it was in his heart. When I read those words, it brought me to tears. Tears because not that he still had to live out the actions, but that hit his heart, and that hit his heart in a way he remembered it to this day. So I had to look back and see what might have caused me to use these negative words. What did I learn using negative words were okay? We're all familiar with nursery rhymes, right? Grew up listening to them. Well, there's that nursery rhymes that says, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Really? Words will never hurt you? This nursery rhyme basically teaches us that words aren't powerful, so disregard what anybody says to you. That's a lie from the enemy. This world was created by words. In Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. He also said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And what happened? God created him. He created him. Male and female, he created them. The opposite of speaking death to someone or into a situation is to speak life. We see that well in this church, right? We have both women and men who do this well. Pastor Alex does this real well, right? Pastor Alex will call out the goal in somebody. And if you don't catch it, you don't get the encouragement that it was intent for. Because he's speaking how God sees you. Now, I also have a coworker named Eldridge in Michigan. God has blessed me with a job where I get to work remotely. So I'm in California. My job's in Michigan. Well, this gentleman, Eldridge, over 3 years ago put together a faith-building teaching class on Thursdays called Thirsty Thursdays, where believers are able to come together on a Thursday during lunch and get your faith increased on the Word of God. Ever since meeting Eldridge, I've looked up to him as a spiritual father and a mentor, because every time he talks to me, he'll say things like this: boy, you were born for a day like today. Or he'll say, nobody heard the word the way that God's going to deliver it through you. Amen. So when you hear those kind of things, yeah, you can clap. When you hear those kind of things, your faith begins to rise, right? Because Eldridge is trained not to use his words. His mouth is trained to use the word. Amen. Right? So now, let me go back to the story of my cousin, because this is how good God is. About a month ago, I'm preparing for this. Mind you, I haven't had a chance to have a conversation. This was years ago when he wrote the letter. And he called me from prison. I'm like, I almost didn't answer the call. He calls me, and he's excited on the other end. I'm like, boom. But I was like, this is it. This is the opportunity. And we're having a conversation. He's telling me what he wants to do when he gets out. He got several years to go, but He's talking about his passions and stuff. And I stopped him in the middle of the conversation. I said, hey, cousin, I need to apologize for something I said to you when we were kids, you know. And he was like, what'd you say? I said, remember you wrote in that letter about how you would never amount to nothing? I said, I renounce that lie right now in the name of Jesus. So I got a chance to take care of that, and then also to speak life into him, because there's some things that he is passionate about he wants to do when he gets out. So I spoke life into that. So, you know, God used that as a way to redeem my words that I was untrained as a young kid. Like Eldridge, we can all also do things to train our mouth to speak the word of God. This happens when we get the word inside of us, right? And the best way to do that is to memorize scripture. Rather, you're sitting in church like you are today, or you're at home reading your Bible, be intentional to write that scripture down. In both situations, you're also going to have to be intentional to take that scripture and meditate. What's meditate? Recite it. Say it to yourself over and over and over and over again until that word gets inside of you. Once the scripture is inside of you, you can take captive of negative thoughts that the enemy will, I'm saying will, because he's going to present some to you, right? So what does that sound like, right? It sounds like the enemy questioning your identity. It might sound something like this. No one likes you. You're different. No one understands you, right? Well, how would you be able to take captive of those words right away? I know. By speaking those scriptures out loud. What does that sound like? In Psalms 139:14, it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I was formed in my mother's womb, God, you knew me. Yes. Ephesians 2:10, for I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. Yes. You see, thoughts are words before they are ever spoken. That's why God says that you need to take captive of them and bring them into the obedience of Christ. Thoughts affect the way you live. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, the way you think will reflect how you live. If you want to live right, be intentional about the way you think. Rather than pray and ask God to change your life, start by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think, you renew your mind. When you have the mind of Christ, it makes it easier to audit the words that come out of your mouth. I did a little research, and I came across this article I want to share with you. Harvard University conducted a study called The Ideal Praise to Criticism Ratio. The study was designed to see which is more effective in improving teams' performance, using negative feedback to let people know when they are doing well or offering constructive feedback to help them when they are off track. During the study, it was found that for every single negative comment that was given, there were 6 positive comments needed in return. In other words, teams needed to receive praise 6 times for every time they received a critical comment. What would it look like if we chose not to use our words, but use the word? The words to your kids would sound like affirmation. The words to your spouse would sound like love. The words to your boss would sound like honor. Just think of all the people you can encourage. If we look back at our main scripture, Proverbs 4:23, it says to keep your heart with all diligence. Another word for keep is to guard. I like using that word better because what you find is you'll guard whatever you find value in, right? You'll put up a wall. You'll do what you need to do to protect that. One of the gateways to our heart is our mouth. So what we say has a way of entering in our heart. Being intentional with our words, they just don't happen. We have to do it with a purpose knowing that every word counts. Every word has the ability to change a situation. Now, it's not enough just to be intentional with our words. We also have to be intentional with what we listen to, which is my second point. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. If we connect this verse with our main scripture that talks about guarding our heart, what comes into your ears must have an impact of what goes into your heart. Growing up, I was a huge Bay Area rap fan. I had just about every Keek the Sneak, E-40, Too Short, Mac Dre album. If the song had a good beat, you can catch me listening to it. Never did I pay attention to the words of those songs, though. Unknowingly, what was happening? These words I was listening to were getting into the heart. Know how I know? Cuss words. Nah. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what was I speaking? I was speaking cuss words. I was speaking negativity. I was speaking things that God didn't create me to be. Right? So what changed for me? 3 words. Operation Solid Lie. And many of you are clapping because we are so thankful that Operation Solid Life's discipleship program, known as OSL, was brought in this church back in 2012. The people who were clapping, they were clapping because it has been a transformation for not only for them, but as for me as well. I remember being invited to OSL the summer of 2012 at a track meet by a friend. At the time, my wife and I was going to another church. This friend approached me at the track meet, started talking about OSL and how it's a discipleship class. And my response to her was, discipleship? Man, you can miss me with that. But my wife, she might be interested. Here's her number. So sorry, babe, but it worked out. So I got my wife involved, and what happened? My wife and my mom ended up taking level one and completing it. My wife goes on to complete level two and was in the middle of level three when something changed. In OSL, you're required to listen to three messages to build your faith. My wife gets done listening to one of those messages that was talking about secular music and how it gets into the heart. Imagine me sitting on the couch, my wife walks in. Babe, we need to talk. Okay. What's up? She was like, do you trust me? So that's this question you don't want to hear, right? Do I trust you? So instead of answering how my flesh wanted to answer, I said, of course I do. So at the time, I had a Microsoft Zoom, for those of you who don't remember what that is. It was a competitor to the Apple iPod. So I was a Microsoft guy at the time, so that's what I used to take to the gym. So I had this thing loaded with thousands of the finest Bay Area rap songs you could you could imagine, right? So this thing was loaded. And she asked, can she see it? So I'm like, you can see it. So now this is where the do you trust me question comes into play. So quickly, though, I remember, you know, just like the iPod, the Zoom had a software you load on your computer, so everything was backed up. So without hesitation, I was like, yeah, here you go, because I knew I had a backup if it went wrong, right? So my wife ends up taking the Zoom, and she deletes all the music off of it, and she replaces it with Christian rap like Trip Lee and Lecrae. So all of a sudden, I was listening to Christian rap music. So what did my wife just do at that point? She intentionally changed what I was listening to. So check this out. The next day, I remember hitting the gym the next day because I still remember this. I hit the gym the next morning, and the Zoom was loaded with all these Christian rap songs. I noticed something instantly that was similar to both Christian rap and the secular music I was listening to. It was a beat. It was the same beat, different words. So instantly, I was like, oh, I can do this. I was, you know, got me in the zone. I was like, oh, I can do this. So for me, this whole time, it was never about the words. It was about the beat. Over time, the more I listened, I did notice something. I noticed the impact that it had on my heart. These words had power because the lyrics of the song used the word. With the technology we have these days, we have a variety of different ways to be intentional with what we listen to, right? Say traffic. Traffic? Who? Oh, see, y'all didn't want to say traffic because y'all don't like it, right? So that's a good point, right? Every morning, we live in the Bay Area. We're stuck in traffic, right? So why not be intentional with those moments, right? Rather get on the phone and gossip to you. Whoever you gossip into, because I'm guilty of this sometimes. Get on the phone and you're just talking your whole way to work, rather that's an hour drive or whatever. Why not be intentional? These cars these days have CarPlay. They have a variety of ways to connect your phone to your audio. Why not be intentional to listen to Christian worship music? Or why not be intentional to listen to the Bible app? Hey, There goes your daily devotion right there. You pop that in, you're able to get the word in your ear. Or better yet, why not pop in a sermon, you know? Why not build your faith? Because when you get out the car, you got to face that job. Or you got to face whatever. You don't know what's on the other side of that door. But I know one thing. If you be intentional with doing different things before you get out of that car, your faith is built up to help you to face those things, right? What about when you have company over and you're just sitting around, hanging out, enjoying good conversation? Why not be intentional to have soft Christian music playing in the background, right? Restaurants do it. They might not play Christian music, but they're setting the atmosphere, right? So why couldn't we set our own atmosphere in our own home, right? People walk in, regardless of what's playing, how low it's playing, or whatever, the atmosphere is set. The word of God is playing, and it's speaking over your house. Those words are speaking over your house. Chick-fil-A, if y'all didn't know that, they do this, right? This instrumental music that they have is Christian contemporary music, and people don't even know. And people that are in the world, they bobbing their heads to it. But that could be the same experience at your house, you know, because you're setting your own atmosphere. Let's take a look at how what you listen to impacts what's in your heart by looking at the bridge and the chorus of Do It Again by Elevation Worship. So I already had this in my notes, and then they sung it this morning, so I was like, whew, God, you are good. So we're going to look at this, and I'm not going to sing it, so I'm just going to read it. It says, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hand. This is my confidence. You've never failed. So as you're singing this chorus, your mouth is speaking these words, and your ear hear the word of God you're speaking. Both are gateways into your heart. Your spirit begins to rise because as you are standing on a promise of God that you're believing him for, you are reminded of a time that God's promises came to pass in your life. You judge him as faithful. God has your back. And based on what he's done already, you are confident that he will not fail you again. Let's give God 5 minutes of praise. That was just the chorus. That was just the chorus. But the song didn't stop there. The bridge goes on to say, I've seen you move. Come move this mountain. And I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there is no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. The bridge of this song begins to have you preaching to yourself. God, I witness you move on my behalf, so I command you to come and move in this situation. Lord, I declare over this situation that I believe that this will be a testimony. Because when it looked impossible before, you made a way. And God, I declare that this will be a testimony. Being intentional with your words and what you listen to alone aren't enough. You also need to be intentional with the way you live, which is my third and final point. How many people know that it's one thing to say something and another to actually do it? Being intentional with the way you live is all about the demonstration. It's about the doing. In Romans 5:8, Jesus says, but God demonstrates his love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the ultimate demonstration of love, right? Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Not when we got it right, not when we were perfect, when we were in sin. Matter of fact, when we weren't even born. So God's like, I'll go first. I'll show you how much I love you, right? So look how the world responds, right? You might hear these quotes. Actions speak louder than words, or no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right? These are quotes that are yearning for you to demonstrate your love to them, right? In order to demonstrate God's love correctly, we are going to need to get our flesh out the way and get some help. The good news is Jesus promised to send us helper in the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Holy Spirit. That is our navigation system, right? We got apps like Waze, used to be Google, Maps, whatever, to get around. But God said, I sent you Holy Spirit as my GPS. God positioning system. That's to guide you. That's to lead you. That's to instruct you. That's to tell you where to go. In John 14:26, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I said to you. Two chapters down in John 16:13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not alone. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you are not alone. When you need to know what to do, have a decision to make, or need wisdom for something, ask Holy Spirit. He is your teacher and your guider. A good way to start off your day is by inviting Holy Spirit to walk with you throughout your day. By allowing yourself to be taught, led, and guided by Holy Spirit, then you can be intentional with the way you live. No matter what you face or where you go, Holy Spirit is with you. For me, God has been using the gym as a ministry for quite some time. Since I go at 5 a.m., hey, I tell them all the time, I say, y'all don't want my flesh. Y'all don't want my flesh. So for me, I have to rely on Holy Spirit before I go. I have to pray and ask Holy Spirit to go in the gym with me. Better yet, help me demonstrate the love of God to people in the gym. Because 5:30 in the morning, if it ain't my flesh, it could be their flesh. So when an opportunity presents itself for me to pray for someone in the gym, I don't wait to get home and pray for them. Holy Spirit gives me the boldness to start praying with them right there in the gym. Before praying, I'm intentional to listen to Holy Spirit on how to pray for that person and allow the Holy Spirit to use my mouth to pray. Here are some practical ways that you can allow Holy Spirit to show you how to demonstrate the love of God in your daily life. Before you head off to the grocery store, be intentional to ask Holy Spirit to show you opportunity to demonstrate God's love. While you're in line at the grocery store and Holy Spirit nudges you to pay for the groceries of the person in front of you, be intentional to obey the nudge. This kind gesture demonstrates the love of God. Before heading to work in the morning, be intentional to ask Holy Spirit to help you be a better listener to a coworker that is dealing with a situation that is going on in their life. Holy Spirit will help you lean into the conversation as if Father God himself was listening into that conversation and not tuning them out. Before picking up the phone to call a family member that's been on your heart, be intentional to ask Holy Spirit for wisdom on what to say to that person. These are all simple, but yet intentional ways you can be intentional with the way you live. As I was preparing for this message, I asked God, what causes someone to demonstrate the love of God? He said, compassion. I thought to myself, God, you are funny. What was funny about it is my senior year of high school, I was voted most compassionate. Oh, see, the women said, oh, the guys laugh. See, that's exactly how I was, too. I remember coming home from school and opening up the yearbook and showing my best friend my picture under the most compassionate section. He looked at the picture, looked at me, started laughing. He said, boy, you a sucker for the ladies. So you can imagine. Going forward, anytime somebody wanted to get a good laugh, they brought up the fact that I was voted most compassionate in high school. Now, I can't remember when I actually told my wife, Crystal, that I was voted most compassionate. But I do remember her spawn. She was like, you? You got to be kidding me. See, my high school classmates was calling out the compassion in me. My wife was just challenging me to live it out. In the Bible, everything Jesus did, he was moved with compassion. In Matthew 9:36, it says, but he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Out of love that we demonstrate to others flow compassion. Do you think there's any coincidence that Jesus said the greatest command of all is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? And the second greatest of them all is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know why? Because love intentionally gives you a choice. Love intentionally sets the captives free. Love intentionally causes you to forgive someone. Love intentionally propels you into your destiny. The love that I'm talking about is Jesus. What would it look like if we started to love people like Jesus loves? That love would come from the heart and would have no agenda. My challenge to you today is to be intentional with the way you love God, and out of that love will flow the ability to be intentional with your words, the ability to be intentional with what you listen to, and lastly, and most importantly, the ability to be intentional with the way you live your life. Amen.